Welcome back to Never Settle. Today I have a fellow honest and truth teller, Rhonda Kulch. She is a managing partner, radio show host. This is where we get our love of being truth tellers and speaking honestly and openly. Rhonda, I'm excited to jump into today's discussion with you.
I love it. Let's do it.
So you know what? I sent over the invite and getting a little more information for the Never Settle podcast, and thank you for making the time to be here. I was so excited for our chat because what you wrote for a mantra, something that you live by, that I believe mantras are something that tell so much about people, their mentality, how they approach life, is that those who fail to plan to fail. Mm-hmm. I just want to dive in because that is something that is so deep to me, but I know stems across the board for everything that we have set up for today's conversation.
Perfect. So I think what happens first and foremost is that, you know, everybody wants something. They want to follow like that shiny object. And what happens is that if you don't put any structure behind what you're doing, you can't expect to ever succeed. So over and over again in my career, I do a lot of coaching. I refer to myself as the problem solver, right, for consumers and businesses. And essentially what happens is when I'm speaking with clients, not just one time, but consistently, it's that they're just not making a plan and they're intimidated by making the plan. So it starts with something as simple as just going to the dollar store or your craft store and just getting a really large piece of oak tag and just jot down and create your vision board. It doesn't have to be anything complex, but if you don't create a plan, don't expect great things to happen in your life because you need something to strive towards in order for you to reach success.
When you say to map it out, and when I think of a vision board, I think of, you know, pretty pictures on a wall and I say, this is it. But I take that a little bit further because I know where you're going with that. But some people say, well, I got a vision board and I have those pretty photos, but it's still not happening. What's the missing element there?
I think the missing element is that anybody can go into a magazine or go online and start clipping out photos. I want the nice car. I want the nice house. You know, this is my beautiful white picket fence. But what they're not doing is taking like that snapshot and actually creating structure underneath it and writing out what has to happen in order for, you know, A plus B equals C. So it's not just a matter of looking at what you want to manifest, but it's creating the steps and the plan to getting there.
Very smart, because what I love is you said the word structure. And structure to me and having routine and discipline is freedom. Whereas I know many people either might say or argue or perhaps, you know, there's a little piece of me that's kind of like, yeah, but there's also free flow. And there's mm-hmm. also living in the moment. And then there's also, it doesn't have to be so, it sounds controlling. What would you say to somebody who brings that counter?
I think what happens a lot is that what we're referring to, I'll say you and I in that conversation, is really work-life balance. So if you put balance to everything that you are working towards, you'll actually need, you know, or I'll say a reset. So it's fine to live life freely, right? It's just a matter of everybody's structure and discipline is different. So how I may rank myself may not be the appropriate scale for me to gauge another client or another person from. So everybody needs to figure out where their starting point is so they can figure out whether or not they are achieving a result, right? So
if I were to say to you, because I want to bring this on a tactical level, I want to produce this film by the end of the year, or we'll flip it and say, I want to, not me myself, but say it was somebody who was approaching you and said, I want to lose 30 pounds before June. I have to think of what month it is. Mm-hmm. What would you, on a high level, give for an example as to what that structure looks like, what that starts to, you know, the vision board behind it that has strategy and structure?
Well, I think first and foremost, you know, we'll use somebody in weight loss. That's not really my area because I'm on the business side. But just using that as an example, I think everything starts with setting a clear expectation for what you're willing to give up.
Wise.
And what happens is that whether it's weight loss or creating a budget or, again, looking at that vision board, you have to really know what goes into it. If everything was simple in life, then nobody would have challenges. But the people that I admire the most are the ones that have been raw and they're damaged, right? Or something happened so that they can have their stepping stones and or their building blocks, right? So if you listen to people even on social media or you follow anybody specifically, the people that I admire the most have been able to share their story and they've led by example. So the people that I gravitate, you know, especially like use a weight loss scenario, there are so many amazing coaches out there and they're not necessarily looking for immediate results with their clients. They're looking for consistent results for their clients so that they can learn new lifestyles and they need to be able to give something up because anything that you do in that short duration of period was really not a new lesson learned, right? It was just something that you went through. You want to create a new lifestyle.
And I know you're not in the weight loss category, which is why I wanted to also add that in there a little bit, because what you're sharing from a business strategy perspective, it's not just for if you're a business owner or CEO, it's across the board as part of the lifestyle. And I love that you were able to draw that element out of creating structure, strategy around any goal that you want to create from intention, from purpose, and how that starts to apply no matter what the goal is. It's very malleable where it can be applied to any area and aspect.
And the other thing I want to add, and again, sometimes like people will get upset with how raw I can be. Sometimes you don't want to share your goals, right? So some people overshare and they want everybody's opinions and they want everybody to give them feedback. So for example, if somebody was overweight and they said, I really want to lose 30 pounds in 30 days. If you think about the people that you're saying that to, what is their response going to be? You can never do it. I don't see that happening. How did you plan on doing it? You've tried it before. So people oftentimes are really negative and they're not supportive over the things that you're learning to do. So a lot of times when I'm talking to you, I'll say business owners about challenges and or goals of what they're trying to achieve, keep in mind, I do tell them to sometimes keep their goals to themselves and or just one or two trusted advisors or trusted partners that can help share their vision. And this is where sometimes online groups become really helpful, because if you think about who's in your backyard, not everybody in your backyard is in your favor. As much, they might say it and they might look at you and be like, Sarah, you're the best. And then they turn around and they're like, that, you know, whatever it may be, right? I don't mean it too bad. But you never know what people in your backyard. So I've found for me, even in my growth journey as an entrepreneur and as a businesswoman, joining different online groups that share similar goals has been a great way for me to have an amazing nationwide sounding board of other people that have gone through similar experiences and really learning how to create relationships outside my normal circle.
Why do you think that is? And it's great advice. Why do you think it is that people in our close proximity would not always be on board or be in our corner?
I think people always feel the need to be competitive instead of being collaborative. So if you even think on the local level, right? I'm located in New York, you know, you're on the Northeast region as well, but it doesn't matter where you are. Think about your local community, your local networking group, your local gym. It doesn't really matter where you are. People are by nature competitive, not collaborative. So even if you and somebody else are gelling really well side by side, as soon as you or somebody else starts accelerating or creating more of a result or having more of an impact, there's an imminent jealousy, at least I feel amongst women, that naturally will occur. And it goes back to the reason why a lot of my closest centers of influence are not in my backyard, because I need to be able to share intimately things that may be happening with myself and my business and not have my immediate centers of influence in my local community know about anything I'm experiencing.
Do you think too that it might, to add to what you're sharing, that it can also challenge other people's beliefs and life choices? Because I found this myself, if I'm saying, for example, I'm moving from Miami to Los Angeles and I'm pursuing acting. I remember getting a message from someone in particular and they said, oh, LA is a crazy city. Why would you get into that industry? It's awful. And I thought to myself, I don't listen to more than five people. And I listen to the five people that are in my close circle with discernment, but with love. And I thought to myself for a moment, I was like, first of all, I'm not going to give this much attention. Second of all, what's her intention? Where is she coming from? And I've given it out. It's a she. So this is leading into what you're saying as well. But then I also remember she moved to Los Angeles to become an actress, and then it didn't work out and decided to choose a different life path, which maybe was unfulfilling for her. So I think it also can bring up a fact of, one, what you're saying about the competitive nature, but also, is it challenging her own choices in life? And in general, not this just one person, but because it makes people reflect on what they're doing. Do you find that as well?
I do. I see that. And I think the response should be, let me tell you, I've been down this road. These were my experiences. And maybe you can learn something from what I did. Yeah. And let me share where my failures may have lied so that maybe you and you don't experience the same thing. So instead of just saying, no, right? It's not going to work for you. That's a horrible decision. The cost of living is expensive. You're going to land up as a waitress. All the little things that we hear. Sure. Instead of being negative, which is what most people want to do, it goes back to mindset. So I think it would have been more helpful had she had said to you, look, it's a tough life choice. But if this is really something you're passionate about, you're going to have your own experiences. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you what I learned when I did it. And again, goes back to people are competitive, not collaborative in where we are in our society.
And it also, it contributes something as opposed to dictating and putting, like our initial talk, putting in the barriers. Something that you said from our first initial phone call, you said, if I can help anybody, I'm there and I want to empower them, especially if they're go-getters. And that's a lot of what your show is about. So I would love to let listeners in on a little bit about your radio show that you're the host of and how that ties in, because very soon I will be over on your side.
Sure. So I have a show. It's a radio show. It does back up to a podcast and YouTube as well. And it's called The Credit Authority. And we interview entertainers, entrepreneurs, and professional athletes. But what we try to do is bring out the best of who they are and or share life lessons. So, for example, I had on recently an NFL Super Bowl champ, and he was on my show. And where people think he's now come home, he's retired, he's on top of the world, he's actually in fear because he has to start chapter two. A lot of professional athletes go through very similar experiences as people in the military when they come back from overseas. And it's this reintegration back into everyday society. So what we try to do is talk about experiences, how they've leveraged maybe relationships, how they've leveraged their career, and sharing stories. Not everybody has had success. A lot of times, I think it was Kevin Harrington from the Shark Tank, I had interviewed him, and you know, he said to me, he's like, Rhonda, you know, I failed, and it was like some ridiculous high number. I failed, you know, 600 times before I was successful. And I think you need to figure out within who you are as an entrepreneur and what level of risk taker are you able to be. And then you have to also then own your decision making. And so what we do on our show is we're talking to people about all of their emotions, and we're trying to, you know, motivate, right? As well as educate. You know, I had somebody on my show, we filmed yesterday, and he, you know, his specialty is corporate grants. You know, we do a lot with business owners and they're trying to raise capital. But as something as simple as having a corporate grant might be the answer to whether or not somebody has the funds necessary for a startup. Sure. So it's exploring as many options and opportunities that there are. And that's what my platform allows for, the, you know, for my listeners as well. But it's an exciting journey. And I'll be the first to tell you, when I decided to host my show, it was not something that I thought about or manifested. It was not on my vision board, but I travel nationwide speaking in a circuit. I try to do a lot of women's empowerment. I am an entrepreneur and a visionary. And so I was given the opportunity through a friend of mine who owns the radio station, and he saw vision in me. And I didn't know what it was going to look like, but if we constantly don't believe in ourselves and challenge ourselves, we just don't know what we're capable of doing. And I think society just goes into this paralysis. And instead of saying, you know what, I'm going to try that. You know, and I'm not saying go jump out of an airplane, but try things that normally you would not have an experience in, and see what that feels like for you. Because you can't learn about yourself and you won't grow. And as soon as you stop growing, not to say you're going to be bored, but that's really where a lot of, I think, it goes back to mindset. If you stop growing, I think you stop experiencing life.
That's very profound, because I agree. And it's, every time that I've personally been pushed outside of comfort zone, there's been something shortly after that kicks into play, and it's like, okay, this was the good, or it doesn't always end up so positive. Like you're saying, there's a lot of, you know, I call them, you either win or you learn a lesson, because they're not necessarily a failure, but you're learning from, if you choose to. Otherwise, other people are like, oh, I failed at this. It was horrible. And it's like, well, that's a perspective. Carry on with that. But it can also be a life lesson for what you're saying, the stories that we get from it, and all of the, you get up and you fall down, you get back up and try again, but you're building on something else that you learned that didn't work. And it's almost a deconstruction of the comfort zone to then rebuild yourself back up. It's a resilience factor in many ways. And go ahead, you're going to jump in.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, you know, even just conversation I had earlier today, you know, I do a lot in obviously the business sector, and I do coaching, and I've been in this space for a long time. But what you're seeing right now are other people that are coming out saying, oh, hire me, I'm a coach, I'm great. But how are you great if you've never had your own experiences, right? It's the real estate investor who is teaching a real estate course that doesn't own a home. They have not experienced it for themselves. So I always tell people as well, like, look at the people that you're surrounding yourself with and choose a mentor wisely. Look at what those statistics look like. Ask questions. A lot of times, I think in life, people are so attracted to somebody without knowing all of the history. So if you came on board and said, hey, great news, I have this, you know, perfect audience, and I'm all of a sudden going to be an influencer in the area of X, you know, you'll get a certain amount of followers, but are you really the person of integrity that you wanted to build yourself to be? So just be careful of, you know, sheep in wolves' clothing.
You said the I word, and that's one of my favorite words, and one of my highest pillars of living. What does integrity mean to you?
You know, for me, I think it's just about, it's deep. That was a deep question, Sarah.
We went there. It's Friday. My coffee kicked in.
For me, when we are talking about integrity, it's a standard in how you live, respond, act, and treat others. So if you are working on a high level of integrity. I can sleep at night. I may not have closed as much business, but the business that I closed respected me. And the opportunities, because of the level of integrity that I work at, are accelerated much faster because I'm not trying to be somebody that I am not. And I think a lot of times people are just not working in today's day and age with a high level of integrity because there's an intense amount of competition and white noise constantly happening in their background. So it's very hard for them to stay focused and stay in their lane, right? So for me, business, whether it's business, in relationships, no matter what's in front of me, I try to live my life with a high level of integrity because I know that I never have to worry at the end. I've made those choices for myself and I'm a big girl now, right? So I own my decision making along the way and I will never blame, you know, or cast blame for anything other than something that I've done for myself.
The phrase, I sleep peacefully at night, is the part that guides a lot of the decisions and choices. And mm-hmm. you said it spot on. It said, maybe I'm not making as much money from it, or there's not as much opportunity, but the cost value for that peace of mind and also value in self, mm-hmm. it's an ROI that is far beyond a dollar amount. And I think, oh, I love that. Because another phrase that comes to mind and term is imposter syndrome. Because when we're trying to be something that we're not, then imposter syndrome creeps in. I mean, that dirty shit can come from anywhere. You can be in the middle of a conversation, yeah. and all of a sudden it's just like, oh, am I? And then it's all this doubt that starts to come in that, I mean, I'm sure you see this in a lot of the business owners. Like, I don't even have to finish the sentence. You're like, oh, yeah.
I'm laughing because in my space, in my world, people want to look like they are worth $1 million. The reality is that the people that are worth $10 million don't care. Be organic. Be who you are. Don't apologize for not having the same experiences. Don't apologize for not having the same success. Learn from the people that are willing to mentor you. And the worst thing that you can do is have imposter syndrome because you will crash and burn faster than you thought that you were on, you know, a path of success. People will see right through that, right through that.
That's what I was going to ask is why do you say, I mean, it's a feeling. First and foremost, it's a feeling. And it's almost as if from like my own embodiment, it's like I want to crawl into a corner and hide and hope that nobody finds me. But why is it, and I'm trying to think of an example. I mean, there's far and few things because I'm pretty authentic for the most part. But we're all human. There's all things that we're just like,
I'll give you a great example. I'll give you a great example of a scenario that happened to me recently with a client. From having conversation with the client, she made herself to be somebody of a pillar in her industry. She was so professional. She had all this money. She had all of these clients. She came to me for a little bit of guidance and coaching. We were looking at structuring her potentially to scale her business and really try to lock her into a lane. Right. So hopefully that kind of makes sense. So in my mind, here I am with this amazing entrepreneur, business owner, go-getter. She's got money. She's in the right circle. She's got everything going for her. And I'm so proud. Right. Like, you know, and here I am thinking, oh, nice. You know, this is going to be a new friend. It's going to be a new client. It's somebody I'm going to work with. She's local. This is wonderful. It's like a new gal pal. And then slowly, and it's not just once, this is over and over. I could give you 100 stories like this. You then dive deep into what's happening. They have no money, they have bad credit, they are living in this imposter syndrome because they feel the need to compete and try to work on a higher level instead of being humbled by whatever the experience may be and relaunching and starting over. They're trying to still perform at that level. and they're no longer at that level. And a great person who I really respect and admire, and if you follow any of his social media, he talks about it all the time, is Dave Meltzer. And Dave Meltzer will say, you know, years ago, I lost $200 million. My wife was going to leave me. I was in a horrible, deep place. But I put on my big boy pants and I woke up and I said, I am better than this. And I did it once and I can go back, and I need to stay focused and stay in my lane. And I'm going to go back and I'm going to rebuild, and I'm going to show you my real character and who I am. And I'm going to teach others from my experiences. And it goes back to what we were saying. But time and time again, people don't want people to realize that they are in a bad place. And you don't have to use the words. And this is another thing I tell my clients. So for your listeners, if you are in a deep, dark place, please be careful who you share that with as well. And watch what you're putting on social media, because interpretation is 9/10 of the law. So if you are in a deep place, find one or two trusted people that you can have conversation with. But putting too much out there could be very, very damaging, especially if you are trying to rebuild, you know, or relaunch something in that business sector, right? And again, I see it all the time with clients, and they want to still act as if they're performing on a certain level. And it's okay to say that you're not, because it's humbling and it's honest and it's raw, and that is what people are attracted to. So that organic conversation, that organic relationship, people know if you're lying and if you're an imposter.
Look, they crave that too, I believe. That's the part that really connects, because at the base level, we're all human and we're all in the human experience. And it reminds me, even as you were using the words of the need and the public, what we're putting outside of us for who we are, in acting, it's a public persona. Then there's the need below, and then there's, you know, the truth of who we really are. And it's when all three of those are conflicting, that creates a lot of the, in my belief, addictions, acting out, doing any kind of escapism needed. So it's fascinating. Now, on your show, because I want to draw listeners there, you talk all truth, authenticity, getting real. You have incredible guests. Where can listeners find you, Rhonda?
So if they follow me on, or if they want to look me up, Rhonda Kulch, I'm on Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube, everything is under my name. Even though my show is called The Credit Authority, and my company, if somebody was looking for business credit coaching, that's all under Equity First. But if you just put my name in, you will have no problem finding me.
Good marketing. We're going to drop those links below as well. Rhonda, one last question. What does Never Settle mean to you?
Oh, God. You know, it's a never-ending journey. I think as soon as you settle, you may as well just die, because then you've accepted where you are, instead of really staying empowered to figure out where you can be.
Powerful. Well, I look forward to sharing some of my life lessons, hopefully something profound, on your show soon coming up.
Yeah.
Listeners, don't forget to subscribe to Never Settle and stay tuned for another empowering episode, interview, and conversation.